was awesome, wonderful, and just a great message, and I appreciate her doing that. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, and just reading the one verse. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Notice that last part. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And my subject tonight is just simply the people that know their God. And we're going to pray. We'll get right into this tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you speak to us and the way that you are at work within us. I pray that you'll enable me to speak your word, and Lord, that it will do what you want it to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and you may be seated. Unless you have been really living under a rock with no internet, no media, no newspaper, you know that there is a battle that's going on for our culture right now. There are pressures that are being brought to bear against biblical values, against biblical morality. Ironically, it's kind of funny that at a time when there's a popular movement that's demanding that men treat women with respect and that they not take sexual advantage or any advantage, the Bible has been teaching us that for generations. The world in some aspects is catching up to what the Bible has had to say, that it is not good for a man to touch a woman. And you know, we live in a time where there are all kinds of pressures. It looks like marijuana is going to become legal in Canada. However, just because something is legal doesn't make it right, any more than alcohol being legal makes it right. The Supreme Court this week handed down a ruling. You may have read about it or heard about it. About a university, a Christian-based university in British Columbia, who wanted to start a law school and to produce lawyers. And a couple of the law societies had said that they would not accept the law degree from that university. Here's why. Because they had a conduct covenant that demanded that students be celibate. In other words, they couldn't be committing fornication. There were other things that went along with it. All things that make perfect sense biblically. And the law society said, we can't accept that because we find it to be discriminatory. And so it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court came back and said that the law societies were within their rights, even though there are other law schools you could go to if you didn't agree with the code of conduct. And if you did not want to abide by it, you could go to another law school. Yet they came down on the side of the law societies. We live in that kind of time. We have a prime minister who's, and I don't want to get into politics tonight, but we have a prime minister who sees abortion as a human right. That it's right up there with freedom of religion, freedom of association, freedom of speech, even though it's not in the Charter of Rights, and yet ignores the right of a helpless unborn child to live. We live in that kind of time. Yet in the middle of everything that is going on, and that's just scratching the surface, in the middle of everything that is going on, our world needs men and women who are willing to step up in the name of Jesus and see God do amazing things in our culture. I've met Christians who look at the world around them and feel like it's the end of days, and I believe we are coming towards the end of days, but they've developed a mentality that says that all we can do is hold on and hope that Jesus comes before the church dies. But we need to understand that when Jesus spoke to his people, he said that it's upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. God has a purpose. When Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonians, he said that he's coming back for a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. God has a purpose in our time. My question as we begin tonight is, what can you see God doing through your life? What can you see God doing through your life? And for every one of us, the answer to that is different. But the one thing I think that most of us would have in common is that the thing that we think we would see God doing is probably less than what God actually wants to do. The prophet Daniel was writing about a vision. He was writing about a time of turmoil that would come and a time when pressure would come against God's people. And he said, but there's something you need to know. That as much as the pressure comes on God's people, there's some pushback. That the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's a reminder to us that darkness never puts out light. You know what's really interesting? You can take a little candle, you can take a little birthday candle, and as long as there's wax to burn, you can take that into the darkest place you can find. If that's down in the bottom of a mine or wherever it may be, take it to the darkest place you can find. And there's something that will happen. That small, little, insignificant, seeming flame will always drive back the darkness. Wherever it goes, darkness has to retreat because light has come. Darkness can never snuff out that light. Darkness can never put out that flame. Darkness can never conquer that light. But every place that flame goes, it may not be a real bright light. It may not be a light you're going to see for 5 miles. But everywhere that flame goes, the darkness begins to retreat because light is there. That's why Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." In the midst of trying times, in the midst of times when it seems like our culture is in a moral tailspin, in a time when we were driving to church and some of our neighbors were out. We don't have a very long drive to church, but some of our neighbors were out. And I remarked that there's so many people who don't go to church. You ever notice that? And it reminded me of a story, and I know I've told this story before, but bear with me. About the two shoe salesmen that went to Africa. And one wrote back to his company, this is in the days before internet, obviously, he wrote back and said, "I'm packing it in, I'm coming home, nobody where I am wears shoes." The other guy wrote back to his company and said, "Send me every shoe you've got. We've got a great market here because nobody wears shoes." In the middle of the time in which we live, we can adopt one of those two attitudes. We can decide that because there are so many who don't know Jesus and who don't go to church, that we can just kind of hold on and hope we can make it through and hope we can keep the doors open. Or we can realize that God has planted us in a culture where there is unlimited potential for the gospel because there's so many people who don't know Jesus. Because if they knew Jesus, their lives would be changed. We have an opportunity. Daniel said that there are three characteristics of these children of God. The first thing he said was those that know their God. And that's a challenge for us. To know God is more than to know about the Bible. It's about more than being able to quote scripture verses. It's to have an intimate relationship, a personal knowledge of God Himself. Part of that is, and a lot of it is formed by our knowledge of God from the Scripture. But it's also formed by our experience with God, whether it's through prayer, or it's through worship, or it's through hearing the Word, or it's through going through life and experiencing God's direction in our lives. He said, first of all, is they that do know their God. The first challenge that we all have is to learn to know our God. So that when I'm singing songs like, He's a good, good Father, that I understand the reality about God. When I understand that God is a Father who loves His children more than any human father ever could. You know, human fathers get frustrated. Human fathers make mistakes. But our Heavenly Father always has time for us, always is there for us. Even when we mess up, He's still there to dust us off, pick us up, and keep on going. He said, they that do know their God. When you know your God, when you come up against something that is bigger than you are, you know that the power that is within you, the God that is within you, is greater than the obstacle that is before you. And it brings an understanding that I can count on God in my life. He said they will be, first they will know God. They will have a relationship with God. It may be getting to know Him as we allow Him to speak into our lives, or as we spend time in fellowship with Him. You know, it's wonderful to come to church, and I appreciate everyone who's here on this Sunday night. But knowing God means knowing Him on Monday as much as on Sunday. It means developing that relationship with Him that is personal on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So that when I come back to church on Sunday, I'm coming back, my heart is already full of the goodness of God and what God is doing. And God has been at work in my life all week. So I'm not coming back and just hoping that I can get something to get me through the next week. And I know there are times we come to church and we need that encouraging touch and we need that help of the Lord. But when we know the Lord, I come to church to worship and express my love for God. And not only to be filled with His presence, but to allow God to minister through me and touch other people. To touch other people. What can God do through you? Every one of us have people that we come in contact with, that we have relationships with, that God can use us as individuals. God places us in situations and in places among people that God... We're not just there because it happened. We're there because God has divine appointments that He brings to pass within our lives. What can God do through your life? He said they will be, first of all, they will know Him. The second thing He says is that knowing God will make you strong. I don't get strong to know God. I come to God in my weakness. The Apostle Paul talked about how he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, I prayed to God 3 times. God, just take this thing away from me. You know what? I've had things in my life where I've gone to God 3 times and said, Lord, take them away. Actually, gone to God more than that. And He left them. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the great man of God, would go to the Lord and say, God, take this thing away from me. It's bothered me. I can't handle it. It's too much for me. And the Lord would speak to him and say, I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, my strength in your life is enough to bring you through. When you know God and you understand how big God is, how great God is, how strong God is, then you begin to understand that when I face things in my life, I can be strong because God said my strength is made perfect, not in your strength, not in your ability, not in your talent, not because you've got all kinds of reserves, but he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the Apostle Paul went on to say, I will glory in my weakness. I will realize when I'm not all that. And then he went on to say, because when I am weak, then I am made strong. When you know God, you have confidence in God. When you know God, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul's going to talk to them about the armor of God. And in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, he said that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't just be strong in yourself. You know, as guys, sometimes we like to be strong in ourselves. It's a male trait. We like to overcome things ourselves. You know, whether it's doing something or even asking for directions. You know, remember the days before GPS? Actually, I know that there are probably some of you who argue with your GPS. I do sometimes. And it just keeps saying the same thing. Turn left. I'm like, I don't want to turn left. Turn left. Sometimes we argue with God. And he said, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. When you know God, you can be strong in God. When you understand more about God. And, you know, it's like I mentioned this morning. If you weren't here this morning, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I mentioned this morning about when I started dating my wife. And, you know, I had seen her at a distance before we started dating, and I thought, wow, Yeah, she's... You know? This bears investigation. Now, you guys that are married, did you ever think that? Like, this bears investigation right here. Now, you might not have put it exactly that way. And so I decided that would be a great thing to do. And overcame obstacles. You know, I asked her out one night to go out the next night. And I don't know if I've ever told that here or not. She had a bunch of people with her in her car that night. And so she said, well, I have to take these people home. And I said, because this bears investigation. I said, okay. Now, you got to understand that home for her was an hour and 15 minutes away into the woods. And I actually... You were coming out of the woods, into the city, back out into another set of woods. And so this was after service at a camp meeting. Now, those of you who have gone to camp meeting here, you know it can run a little late. Well, it would run late. And so I said, that's okay. You know, you don't want to waste an opportunity, right? And I said, that's okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll drive down there behind you. And you can drop them off. And we'll come back up to town. Because I decided, now you say that's kind of, you know, extreme. You could have waited. Hey, the path of true love, you don't wait. I mean, you're not thinking about what time is it. You know, it was... Like, it's no problem. It's no problem at all. I'll drive for 2.5 hours, and then we'll then we'll go to the restaurant and eat, and I'll drive for another couple hours and we'll get you home, and I'll drive home, and we'll be... Because, you see, I wanted to get to know her. And sometimes people surprise you because sometimes the more you get to know them, the less you like them. Isn't that the truth? Sometimes the more you get to know some people, the less you like them. And you're a Christian, so you got to love them. But you may not appreciate all of their virtues. I mean, they may not be the one you want to call and go out for coffee with because you clash. You love them. And then there are other people, when you begin to develop a relationship, you begin to know them, and I'm not just talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, now I'm talking about any kind of relationship, but when you begin to get to know them, you say, hey, have you, let me take a poll here. How many of you have ever saw somebody and you thought they were really stuck up, and then you got to know them, and you discovered that they weren't that way at all? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, okay. You know why? Because you got to know them. And there are sometimes when we think about God, that we, because of our culture, we form all kinds of impressions, and those impressions even affect Christians. You get bombarded with it over and over and over and over again. But you see, with Jesus, when you start to get to know him, you discover, I want to know him better, and I want to know him better, and there's nothing that's going to get in the way of my knowing Jesus better. And I told that little story about us on our first date. And you know what? It was, you know, we left the restaurant. It was late, but you know what? It didn't really matter. You know, it just really didn't. And I'd do it all over again. Matter of fact, I'd do it tonight. We've been married a long time, but I'd do it tonight. Because you see, when you get to know some people, you want to know them more. When you understand Jesus and you begin to know him, there's something about it as you begin to look into who he is, and how he relates to you. There's something that says, I want to know him more. And when I know him more, I'm stronger. There are things that come against you in life. Sometimes there are temptations, and the Bible teaches us that with our temptations, God will provide a way of escape. That we can be strong and stand up against them. There are sometimes that the enemy attacks. Now, I don't see the devil under every rock, but I do know that he does attack. The Bible says that. But it also teaches us that with God's strength, we can plant our feet firmly on the Word of God. And I know you can't actually see the devil, but you can almost look the devil in the eye and say, Mr. Devil, you need to go somewhere else and bother somebody else, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so you're second rate to the God that is in me. And I'm determined, I know my God, and I know my God, I'm strong in my God, and I don't have to wither and fade away because of what you say, because I know my God. And then he said, finally, he said that they shall be strong and do exploits. On Sunday mornings, our series has been different. How God calls believers to be different, and going through the book of 1 Peter. But living in a world of normal, actually where normal is in our world is kind of weird. But living in a world of normal, God calls his people to be abnormal. He calls his people to have abnormal expectations. I'm sure you've heard people talk about God and they'll say, well, the man in the sky, the big guy upstairs. And in many cases, they really believe that there probably is a God out there somewhere, but he really doesn't do anything, and he really doesn't have any power, and he's kind of helpless. But you humor him, and so you go to church at Christmas and Easter, because just in case. But God calls people who know Him and who are strong in Him to not accept normal. Here's what Jesus told His disciples in Mark chapter 16. He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, let me tell you, what follows here is not normal. Not normal for our culture, not normal for our world, but notice what He said, "In My name they shall cast out devils." That means that if there are demonic spirits involved, that a believer has authority in the name of Jesus over demonic spirits. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to try to coddle them. Jesus simply said, "Leave," and they left. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. But not only that, He said, "They shall speak with new tongues," or new languages. We understand the baptism of the Spirit. But then look at verse number 18. "And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them." Now, we've got to understand, you know, there are some places in the United States in particular where they take this verse and they challenge God, test God, and so they bring snakes to church. Rattlesnakes and I don't know what other kinds, but venomous snakes. And then as part of what they're doing, they'll take them out of the baskets and they'll start handing them around. And I've got to tell you, I've said this before, I say it again. If anybody brings a snake to church and brings it out and starts handing it around, I will be the first one out the door. After I tell them, put that thing away. Because what Jesus is telling us there is not go put yourself in harm's way and see what will happen. He's telling them, if something happens like this, I am able to help you. But He didn't say, go grab a rattlesnake by the tail, swing it around and see if it bites you. Because there are sometimes, this is just how I feel about it, there are sometimes I think that God looks down and says, if you're dumb enough to do that, I'm going to let it bite you. Now you say, "Pastor, that's a lack of faith." No, that's just being intelligent. Even Jesus, when Satan came, said, "It's written, thou shalt not tempt or try the Lord your God." You're not going to go out and say, "I'm going to jump off the top of the roof and God's going to catch me. The angels are going to catch me before I hit the ground." You know what? The Lord is going to let you understand that He put the law of gravity in action and you're not exempt from it. However, there have been times that people have fallen and God has brought them through without hardly a bump. But He doesn't tell you, go test the Lord and try Him and see what will happen. And so He said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And then they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say the preacher will lay hands on the sick. He said, they, believers, shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means that if you are a believer in Jesus, that you have authority in His name to pray for somebody who is sick and to see them be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, here, sometimes we get afraid and we say, well, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? They're no worse off than they were before. Sometimes God chooses not to heal people. But the one thing I know is that if I don't pray for them, I'm not inviting God to heal them. And if I'm not inviting God to heal them, He's not going to heal them. But He challenges us to have the faith to be able to step out of our comfort zone. It may be to pray for somebody who is sick. It may be to teach a Bible study. You say, well, I don't know if I could ever teach a Bible study. You know, if a person doesn't know anything about the Bible and doesn't know Jesus, and you go to teach them a Bible study, and you're nice and you're kind, You may not have it all down pat, but the power is not in your words. The power is in the Word. And as you take the Word, you can see God transform a life right in front of you. Be strong and do exploits. He's telling us that with God in our lives, there is no telling what God can do. What can God do through you? Who can God touch through your life? Who can God bless? You know what? Sometimes God puts a difficult person in your path. And they may be difficult because they've gone through some things in life that have made them difficult. They may be difficult just because that's their ornery nature. They may be difficult because God's placed them in your path to either shape you or for you to shape them. What can God do through you? Who can God touch through your life? They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we stand together tonight. What can God do through you? Who can God touch through you? If Jesus would say that even a cup of cold water given in my name shall not lose its reward, what can God do through you? It may be inside the walls of the church that God would work through your life. It may be in your family. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be in your workplace. What can God do? See, God doesn't call us just to win arguments. God calls us to touch our world with His power in the name of Jesus. He calls us to take truth to a world that desperately needs something to hang on to. What can God do through you? And it may be that here tonight that God will speak into your life. That God will challenge you. It may be a challenge that you have never thought of before. It may be a big idea that you have never thought of, and you look at it and say, it's so big it could never be. It may be simply to touch another life beside you in the name of Jesus. What can God do through you? We're going to pray. And I'd like for you to ask God that. God, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do through me? Father, today we come to you and, Lord, I thank you for everything that you have done this morning, tonight. I thank you for the way your Spirit ministers to us. Lord, I'm asking you that you would challenge us today. Lord, I pray first of all that we'll know you. And knowing you, we'll be strong in you. And then, Lord, I pray that we'll never be content to hold our own. We'll never be content, Lord, to just maintain. But we'll always be advancing. We'll always be moving forward. We'll always be seeing and expecting you to do great things in our lives and through our lives. Lord, I pray tonight over this group of people, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to see you do great things. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to step out of our comfort zones, to pray, to speak, Lord, to minister. I pray, God, that you will use us, oh Lord, in this area, in this community, Lord, in our city, Lord, to be light in our world. And I pray that as individuals tonight, you'll challenge us individually. Lord, you'll inspire us individually. And Lord, this I ask now, in Jesus' name, Amen. In Jesus' name. As we sing this song, I want to invite you just to come and stand here together. And the song just says, "Here I am, Lord, here I am. I'm giving myself to you. Lord, do something through me." And I want to invite you, whether maybe you're not in the habit of coming to stand at the front or to pray at the front, but I'd like to invite you tonight. We've got lots of room. I'd like to invite you to come and just make that your prayer. Lord, here I am. Lord, speak to me tonight. Move in me tonight. Lord, let me see you do great things through my life and in my life. As we sing, let's just gather out here for a few moments of prayer to say, God, just speak to me. Just move in me tonight. Here I am.